All right, we're back at it again for Mozart in the Jungle, episode number 3 and 4. And of course, we'll talk about Gabriel Garcia Bernal. He was at the Oscars. That was a big moment. Going to talk about all things Mozart in the Jungle, episode 3 and 4. And you know we could talk about so much more. Let's get into it right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Okay, let it begin. I am Ronnie Jr. Stars are in my eyes. I've got a great co-host with me today.
Linda and Tui. Hi, guys. Welcome back.
Just enjoying a little music to keep us at ease as we're going to dissect two different episodes.
It's like we're at the symphony.
Very excited to be back with these two episodes because the show continuously speaks to us. What are your general thoughts of how the pacing of the episodes are going?
I think it's great. I like this season. I think that they're really getting into the characters a lot and their backstories and the relationships they've built over the years. So I'm digging it.
It ends up being like just when you think it's going to go one way, it'll challenge and go a different way. I almost thought it was going to be maybe uberly too relationship driven. You know, I didn't want the show to abandon its original idea and be very like lovey-dovey only. So it's kind of tossed and turned with me on that.
Okay.
It's kind of how I see it. How about Oscars? Gabriel Garcia Bernal performed?
I didn't get to see it.
Oh, okay. That's what I was texting you
about.
Yeah,
I didn't get to see it. So I'm sad, but I heard it was good.
I just think all of these stars are doing such a great job. I mean, of course, the roles they play as well, but mm-hmm. From Bernadette Peters on Hello Dolly in Broadway to Lola Kirk and her music that's going around right now. Mm-hmm. Just this is a solid group.
Absolutely. And so talented.
I have such a great question for you before we start dissecting these two episodes with a lot of humor, by the way. I was laughing at a lot of the different aspects of this show, these two episodes. How do you describe the show to other people? I want to know from you.
When I suggest it, and I say it's a great show, I just say it's a really happy, inspirational show. And from season one, just following your dreams, and even though there might be obstacles, you still, if you live your passion, then you're going to always be happy. And that's what this show means to me.
I feel like there have been moments where I'll be a little like frustrated of just whatever it is. You know, it doesn't have to be a creative endeavor specifically to, you know, conducting music, but whatever it is, you can watch these episodes and they speak to that, like you say, you know, mm-hmm. This show has recharged me in a lot of ways.
Absolutely.
To some people I'll tell them, oh, Mozart in the Jungle is very funny, but I don't think it's limited to just humor, but there's certainly humor whenever Rodrigo de Souza speaks.
Yeah, he's definitely a character, and you know, it's a dramedy, you know, they have the drama and they have the comedy and they do a really good job bouncing between the two.
I guess we could jump into Significant Lover was the name of the third episode. Mm-hmm. That's coming right off the wheels, if you may, of them coming back from sort of a different Hailee Rutledge, you know, being at the parents' home and, mm-hmm. you know, what's the next step. So I thought it was really funny, like right off the bat, to see Rodrigo jump in there and have I'm not a minimalist.
I'm a maximalist. All this stuff. She's like, what? I thought you were a minimalist. You had no stuff. He's like, I just didn't have a place for my stuff. I'm a maximalist. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, it's great for their relationship, but it's also great for like every time you feel like you know Rodrigo, there's like another aspect to learning him.
A twist.
Yeah. They had a little bit of a moment when they were talking about him moving in, this, that, and the other. But now it seems legit. Do you think it's the right move at this point?
I think so. But I'm wondering if he's taking it serious, because when they started to talk about paying the rent and he was giving them like those figures and like a coin or whatever it was, he's like, this is for February and this is for April. I was like, are you taking this serious? Because what are they going to do with those things? Pawn them?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's interesting to know if he understands fully like what this all means. And mm-hmm. on some levels, towards the end of the fourth episode, we'll get to that in a minute, he really caught it. He really like grasped what it is and what they are for each other. In those moments, what you just said, no, you still think he kind of misses it.
Yeah.
We have a note from the booth real quick. Let me just check that out. Copy that. Just make a little, actually, we'll close this down. Sorry, everybody who is listening into iTunes. We're just making minor adjustments. You know, this new studio I hadn't been in before.
I love it.
So I love it. And I didn't even notice some of the new details. But while we're talking about new details, can I tell you real quickly, we're going to get into more of the coverage here. Linda, you listen to all those podcasts.
I do.
You're not just a featured star on one. Telling you about the Maria Menounos conversations with Maria Menounos. Have you given that one a listen?
She's fabulous. From her XM radio down to this new podcast where she can give you advice about everything. She's so easy to listen to. She's like, you feel like she's like a family member. Yeah. She's our family here. She's, you know, our best creator. She's like amazing. She's inspiring. And she's putting that out there in the podcast now.
And it's really cool because all you got to do is go to iTunes, subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. It is free. Those come out on Friday. I was telling the other group that I do another after show with, the one that I liked the most of this program, Maria just welcomed Tracy Edmonds. Mm. Tracy Edmonds, when we talk about like creative people, you know, she's worked on Soul Food. And of course, she was a TV host. And now she's delving into her fitness brand as well, which is very symbiotic to all the stuff Maria's done within her book. So talk about a good conversation and uplifting, much like how Mozart in the Jungle is.
Yeah.
You'll get that stuff with Conversations with Maria Menounos. You'll know where to find all that. Just search on iTunes.
And I love it.
Rock out with AfterBuzz. Now that we're done talking about that podcast and how great it is, I want to talk about the not so great, dreaded even, Pope performance, which is scheduled to happen. And Gloria Windsor is living for this. Like, it's going to be, in her mind, it's going to be the best thing ever.
Right. She's bringing back the New York Symphony, right? She's bringing back not only the symphony, but she's bringing back her sponsors, and they're going to be, you know, moving up in the world, which is not what happens.
Yeah. Well, the funniest thing about that is it's such a big night. We know that. But then also, it really is the homecoming of Haley and Rodrigo. I mean,
but did you think that she thought that? Did you think that she thought that this was their homecoming?
I thought she thought it was very awkward for her. I think he was awkward in his own awkward way. Mm-hmm. I think she didn't like it. She was very uncomfortable with it. And we see her struggle with that.
Yeah, I think that she was going to support him. But because he's on this big, you're my girlfriend, you're my partner, you're my significant lover, because he's on that tip, that was in his mind. And I don't think that she was necessarily there with him yet. Like, she wasn't comfortable because she's still trying to find her own way.
You mean you don't think she was comfortable as far as, like, the label?
Label.
Well, whether it was like the label or if it wasn't, whether, like, let's say for instance she was cool with it, okay, it's cool for you amongst your people, but to like make it that big of an awkward scene, that was horrible for her.
That's what I mean. I don't think that she wants to follow. I don't think she wants to be seen following in his footsteps. She wants to stand on her own two feet, and she doesn't want the people to think that the reason why she's doing as well as she's doing is because she's dating him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? She wants to make her own name.
I would say, Linda, that's safe to say. I think the moment he decides, I mean, it's as if she said to him while they're walking up, you know, up the aisle, you know, keep it low key, you know, I'm your girlfriend. Like, just, and what does he do? He blows up her spot the other way.
Yeah.
And the reason it was really funny when we watched the episode, Significant Lover, is because they were trying to define, well, what am I to you, kind of a thing. Almost like a child's, you know.
Right, he said that. He's like, what do you want me to call you?
He said, do you want me to call you, you're my mate?
Like, my mate, my partner, my significant lover, my girlfriend. Yeah.
He doesn't understand the actualities that she's trying to convey. Like,
yeah, I think that he doesn't understand that she obviously wants to be with him, but she doesn't want people to think that she's with him just to move ahead in her career.
Yeah, but on a comedic standpoint, us watching as the viewers, it was so great. I watched it about 3 times, especially that scene, because when he goes, somebody so important, and you're thinking for sure it's like the Pope, you know, and the way he jazzes it up, you're like, the person, and we're all here in this room for this amazing person. And when he said significant lover, and then I think there's a clip of Gloria and Thomas, and they're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I mean, the uncomfortableness.
Well, because he mentioned her, Haley, over the Pope, and the Pope was sitting right there. Then he was like, "Well, basically, shout out to the Pope, like, thanks for coming."
Yeah.
Instead of making it a big deal about the Pope,
which I thought that was funny too. It was like the Pope was like the literally not important at all.
Yeah, not as important as highly
retilage. Which, by the way, the Pope wasn't as important, unfortunately, because we look at a holy rats. Begins to take place. We had heard in episodes before that the rats were there. Everyone sort of ignored the maintenance request, and it was a scene.
It was the scene. That was it, right? So the roof starts literally collapsing, and on their biggest night where they finally got the Pope in, it was a disaster.
But I thought it was really funny the way it was expressed, because it was right when Thomas said, "I'm going to leave as music director and I'm going to go work on my own project." Right. It was like Gloria. One of the things I love about watching this show is the great Bernadette Peters and her Gloria character. It's glorious, right? And she was like, "My gosh, have I conducted my way back into a successful symphony?" You know, like, it just so fun. At the height of that is when he hits her with the news, and it's just one problem after the next, right, after the next. And I have to watch it 2 or 3 times on the Amazon, because it is so funny.
It was very funny. And then when she's like, basically, you made this happen because you said that you were leaving.
Yeah.
And it all comes crashing down.
Yeah. Then we move on to the scene where she's like, I think she's using the F word a couple times. F this, F that. And then it's really cool because it is very reminiscent of how it works sometimes, where you have to mix your trials to how you're going to, you know, talk with your investors the next day or whatnot. And she's like, F this. And what was the word? How does she twist that? It's fantastic or something. Yeah. Something of that nature.
Yeah.
But what's really cool is we get to get a little Masaoka, I'm sorry, as Mr. Fukumoto, who's going to continue on.
As the investor.
Mm-hmm. It takes a liking, though, to our dear... the name escapes me. Our dear elderly...
the bassist.
Spitfire.
Oboist.
Yeah. Oboist. I shut my computer down, but we all know... Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if she was going to get a lot of screen time, you know, in these next episodes. I like her. She's funny.
Yeah.
And if she has to go on a date with him, you know, to keep investment... But it seems like she wants to go.
I think she liked it. I think she liked the attention.
Yeah, I got to rephrase my words. I don't mean to keep investment. I mean, you know, there was an interest there.
Yeah, I think there was an interest. And I think that they had similar things in common. And I love the fact that she just automatically started speaking Japanese, and you learned a little bit more about her character spending a year abroad. So I thought it was a good little scene.
Especially her, because she's always been the badass. You know, remember in seasons past, you know, she said stuff to Haley like, "No, you're never going to make it."
Right.
And Haley's like, "I can't understand why you would say that." And
yeah, but that was all out of fear, Ronnie. She was getting older, and then there's this young, talented person, and she was fearful that she's going to be replaced.
Sort of disagree. I don't think it was out of I don't think it was out of just fear. I think it was also, I think she adopted this thing that no one's going to give her anything. Betty's her name. Betty Cragswell. Anyways, she adopted this thing where no one is going to give her anything. No one's given her anything. And I think she just wanted to be extra hard towards Haley, not to necessarily intimidate her or scare her, but to let her know, and if you want respect with me, you're going to have to earn it. Is that fair to say? That's kind of how I saw it.
I think that that's a definite point, and I think that that's probably true. But I also am going to stick with my point, saying that, it, you know, think about being in your job for 30 years and all of a sudden a millennial comes in and is going to do your job. You're going to be fearful because you're going to think that you're out of there, right? Because they're coming in for maybe half the pay and don't have the same experience as you. So I think that, you know, I think both of those things could be right.
Fearful, angered, or whatnot. But from what it was, it's always made her a meaner character, you know, so to speak, but fun to watch. It was really fun, like you say, to see where she's going to go in this engagement with Mr. Fukumoto. And the only downside to their meeting was that he insisted that Rodrigo would do the Requiem, which is not anything that Rodrigo ever wanted to touch, I guess.
Yeah, but is that a downside?
Oh, because he was being pushed?
Yeah, because it's something that he hasn't done. So I think that Rodrigo...
Oh, that's a good perspective!
Rodrigo thrives when he's challenged a little bit.
But he didn't look like he was thriving, though.
But he hasn't done it yet.
No, but I'm saying, like, he didn't react as such. It's funny because I took that as a negative thing, like, oh, it's gonna. But it's great because you took it as a positive thing, like, oh, he's never done it. He's now being pushed as a reason to do it.
Right.
I didn't take it that way. That's okay. So fun. I think that's great. But I thought it was more damaging a little bit because he wasn't prepared for the timing. And now he's doing the children's orchestra.
Yeah, but he's not doing anything right now. This is what between this and the ballet, because he hasn't done that ballet thing either where they're going to have no audience.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it's true. I feel like. I don't know. I guess I just didn't look at it like that. So okay. I didn't look at it, and I guess I'll use that as applicable to my own life too. When something comes to me or you or whatever, you know, just because it is something that is tons of roadblocks, it's not actually a bad thing, especially artistically.
Right.
However, artistically, it may be because, and we'll get to this later in the episode, he feels that the Requiem piece itself doesn't speak to him. So maybe that's where I'm going with, too. Requiem represents something bad. We'll get into that a little bit later. Let's briefly, because I just thought this was such... I loved all the... Is it Igor or Egon? Egon. Scenes. I absolutely loved their creative dance. How did you take to that?
I thought it was fantastic. It was very... It was, like, beautiful. I would never have thought to have almost, like, spoken words... translated into ballet, and to be able to do that, like, what an amazing gift.
Yeah, and who better to be the vehicle of the emotion for this interpretive dance than Rodrigo de Souza?
Absolutely.
And I love the way he received from it too. He gained a lot of perspective.
Yeah, you could tell that he was completely inspired by them,
which is the only thing Rodrigo stands for. It's like, if I'm not, like, invested. I think he had a scene later on, they're getting a little hot dog, and they're talking about just I guess commercialism and, you know, what is expected and why, just having that heart to heart, which they both understand. And I think Egon stated, like, oh, well, we could put this into the Faust piece, all of these emotions. So gosh, that's similar to what you're saying, is take all that stuff and, you know, let it fly in the work. So,
yeah.
Which oftentimes people we see in the careers and stuff, they don't do it. We see a lot of musicians now, like, they don't just focus on the work, they focus on the drama too. So
right.
This is a whole different angle for sure. We talk about commercialism, Haley and Rodrigo talking about the Caroline Shaw. They're in bed, ending the episode for the most part. I love the exchange. I feel like it's very natural and healthy for them to express their issues. Any thoughts there?
No, I think that was a good moment where you're starting to see, like, they are really coming together as a couple, and Haley's really trying to communicate with him. You know, yeah. I think he's starting to get it.
Almost more so than him, like I get worried about him yes-ending her because he loves her so much.
Yes.
That's my only issue. But going off what I was saying...
It's funny because I was like, yes, and yes.
you did it. Yes. Okay. So you know how it works. Thoughts on how the episode ended, and I love when I watch an episode like this and I see what we saw and how it, you know, created this really dark space for Rodrigo. He does hear the coughing outside. He's been seeing Mozart in a couple of the other episodes too, but tell me how you gathered that scene.
I thought that it was interesting that Mozart came back to him at that moment, because I feel like every time Mozart comes to him, he's at a crossroads in his creative ability. So I think that hearing the coughing and then what happens to Mozart, him dying and not being the muse, was really representative of where Rodrigo is right now. Like, he's not creating right now. Mm. He's not working on anything. Yes, he has his youth group and the ballet thing that's coming up, and then... But he hasn't been working, like, on a regular basis creatively. Like, what is he birthing? I think of, like, season one and season two. He was constantly working and constantly creating and really thinking outside of the box. And we just really haven't seen that in this season yet.
No, I could agree. I think I was a little dumbfounded or, like, left wondering why when Mozart did his last words before he, you know, hung his head. And I guess that was it for him, was don't do the Requiem. Like, so... That was a weird thing. Like, how does Rodrigo supposed to, you know, react to that? You know, his last vision is that he's being told, don't do it.
But why?
Well, I took it as the significance of how Rodrigo said that piece wasn't really the piece that was the strongest because he was, because Mozart was dying at the moment. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a reflection of like the piece not being maybe the right bit of work. I don't know if that's the answer. I was left.
No, I feel like that it could be the right piece because it wasn't finished and because it wasn't the strongest piece, that's where Rodrigo can put his spin on it, his take on it, and elevate it. That's how I took it.
So you think that he should always go for it, even if it's not?
I think he should go for it if it speaks to him.
Yeah, but that's the thing I'm worried about. I don't think it is right now. I mean, right in this moment.
Yeah, but I don't think that we know that because he hasn't been working on anything, so nothing is really speaking to him besides this ballet piece.
Or besides Haley Rutledge, right, okay.
Right, because he's in his love mode.
Yeah. All right. That's a fair assessment of that episode. Just wanted to check in with the booth. How are we doing over there, Bree?
Over here?
Just checking in with you. Bree is our engineer and she does all the scheduling. I always think, Bree, you would love this show because you tend to love a lot of the artistic stuff. I would wonder a question to you. What would you do if you had something that was being told of you to do creatively, like within, you know, your creative endeavors, but then the pit of your stomach said no, or you got a vision that said no? That's what our main character, Rodrigo, went through this episode. I just wondered how you would try to deal with that.
I think as a creative person, you kind of always have to go with your heart and your gut instinct with things because that's what's going to come across to other people in art. If it speaks to you, if you have passion for it, if it's really, you know, talking to you, then other people are going to see that through your work. And if it's just something you're doing because you have to do it or something you're doing because you're being told to do it, then that's when it can't connect with people.
So ultimately about connecting. Yeah, I think that's what Rodrigo does, and that's why it was a pivotal ending of that episode. Well, thank you, Bree. I just wanted to check in because I know Bree is very artistic and she has a lot of great passions too. So
absolutely.
I could not imagine she's not went through these journeys in her own life too.
Right.
Let's get into the next episode, which is going to be episode number 4. This is An Honest Ghost. Did you have any initial thoughts on this episode?
I thought it went in a completely different direction than I don't know what I was expecting, but I love that he visited this really crazy off the wall collector. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that Haley got to meet these really inspiring women. So
yeah
it was good.
I almost felt like there was going to be an issue at the beginning, and starting off, we see Rodrigo talking to Mozart and, you know, that being the end and how devastating that is. So then we start with the next episode where Rodrigo's sort of trying to understand things and he's trying to speak upon these things. And unfortunately, it wasn't like Haley didn't care, but she was too busy for him. I'm not saying I'm like looking for a problem, but I was a little worried that would that create, because she even said, oh, I'd love to talk to you about this, but I have this, and this. And it just made me think, Rodrigo's got this, and this to do. She's got this.
But he didn't really have this, and this to do. He wanted to find an item that, what's his face?
Yeah, no, but not at this point. At this point, I don't, or at least in my interpretation, in this point, he's still, from Mozart, at this point, he's still just trying to resolve like his feelings and the vision he got with Mozart. It just I'm not saying I'm like jumping for a problem, but I'm, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess I took it a different way. I think that it piggybacks off of what happened in the last episode where she wants to stand on her own two feet. And yes, she's in a relationship with Rodrigo, but she said from the beginning that she wants to be able to do this on her own. So yet what I saw was Rodrigo was, you know, being the creative visionary talker that he always is. And she was like, no, I have some real life stuff to do. Like I can't sit here and talk about your fake muse, or not your fake muse, but your you know, your Mozart that you talk to. Like I have to go and do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. And those are really tangible things. So I didn't take it like I don't have time for you. I took it like I have to get these things done.
Because I guess
I'm going to get these things done.
I guess essentially too, if you stop for every time Rodrigo had a vision, a calling, some type of we need to go buy, you know, baked goods and bake them to, in order to be connected spiritually. He's that guy. So I guess you're right. She does have to have still a focused agenda. But I was excited, though, that she did get the call and this opportunity to be scouted by the biggest, this conductor's contest and to be scouted. And I thought it was great. I was really happy. Like I said, I wasn't really necessarily worried that they were going to be too busy for each other, but I was really happy this was a unified thing. He asks nicely, why didn't you tell me? But you know, she just continued to let him know, I want to do this on my own. Big moment, I thought.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And congrats to her, because that was a big thing. She put a lot of work into it.
Earlier in this episode, you were not this episode, but our episode, you were talking about, I can't remember or recall, but something about when you get older or age, something, did you say something about ageist? No.
You don't have to. I said a lot of things.
Okay, you don't have to. Anyways, I know there was something we were both talking about that had to do with age and getting older, this, that, and the other. And one of the things I've said even in our other after show that I love about a lot of these characters, whether it's Betty Craig as well, or Thomas or Cynthia, is that idea of you getting older and, like, you know, what is next for you? You know, like, now I remember what it was, when the millennial comes, you know, up and takes the job. I just love what they're doing with Thomas. I love this piss and vinegar he has. He's always had it. And where he's finding his calling, you know, in this.
His second act. That's what it is.
I love it.
And his second act is not as in the box as his first act. And I think that he loves that. I think that he loves the fact that he's going to be able to be truly creative again.
Yeah, it'll take some bumps along the road. Of course, he's wanted to walk out of it or whatever, but what a pivotal moment. I thought, I love the way he was explaining that Beethoven was a really great inspiration to him, because I think it was like, because Beethoven wanted to start the fire, you know, like he was talking about the F key and why that was used so much. It was basically, you know, all these other composers, you know, keep things simple is how he took it. But Beethoven, he'd challenge and challenge and challenge. And that's Thomas through and through.
Right, because he's trying to challenge his new symphony to do better and be better.
Yeah.
And that, I think that was fantastic.
And so they have this, like, almost like a, what is it, a stomp, you know, kind of like with the tin, you know, the trash can. It's kind of like a...
Find your instrument.
Yeah, I think there was a moment where he told the percussion. Go find,
find your instrument. Yeah.
Very good. And I think it sounds beautiful. I think it's shot beautifully. Mm-hmm. I would love to do more research on that space too, to find out.
Yeah, where is that?
I believe it's on White Avenue, so it must be. They said it was Queens. It might be like through Flatbush. No, that's Brooklyn. I'm not really sure for sure. But very cool, and I like the element of it too. You have people like Cynthia who come in and say, "Gosh, I had to take three trains to get here." So there's a bit of that, like, you know, it's a different world, yet it's such a close world, and what he can do with that.
Right, and then the motorcycle, I thought that was a really cool, not prop, but something cool to bring in to see. Music is everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. It's everywhere, and you wouldn't think, like, just, you know, the engine of a motorcycle could be so inspiring.
Yeah.
You know?
This is going to sound so corny, but I don't want to say that I've been trying to do this, because then if I haven't put the proper work in. So I don't want to, you know, say it without putting the proper work. But I've been trying to make steps to learn to meditate a smidge. And maybe not even meditate officially. That's why I said I don't want to diminish it. But going off your point with where you could find things. The other day I was sitting in the traffic, and it always drives me crazy. And I was like, trying to find the perfect song or the perfect Spotify, and I was like getting more negative, frustrated energies. And then I decided to like turn all music off and have the windows down. And at the very first moment I did that, it was so silent, and it was like almost creepy. Up until it started sounding like, and then like I'd heard like other, you know, rhythmic, you know, sounds. I mean, it's super corny, and maybe I was just in a really good space mentally, but that's
not really corny. It's exactly what we're saying. Like, you can find music anywhere. You can find the rhythm of the universe wherever you are, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, and too many times on these great television programs, you know, no diss to every other television program, you don't get to follow that, you know, that path on a television program. But Amazon's Mozart in the Jungle sure does do that. Thank you very much, and I love it. Okay, Thomas is awesome. Hey, let's see. We've got Rodrigo waiting tables. They're sort of trying to pick another music conductor in true Rodrigo form. Mm-hmm. He could give a care about that. But what is important to him is to catch a vision. And then he catches the vision. Mm-hmm. And that was through hearing the grandmother speak. And then it was something along the lines of, you have to have something from Mozart or mm-hmm. something from the past.
That he's touched.
Yeah.
Or owned.
And what you said opening this episode, you love that they chose that place and found that beautiful location.
Yeah. I mean, it was very, it was beautiful. That's exactly what it was. It was beautiful.
Now they go there. Let me see. I want to just make sure we don't miss anything specifically. Go ahead.
What else I liked about it, I liked that he brought Haley with him because Haley was going to show that she can be inspired in other ways as well and that she can get work done in other ways without just like being on the grind. So I thought that was important because sometimes you just need to be inspired and yeah. inspiration then allows you to get back on track to what you want to do or achieve.
It came at the best time too because that's when she was having her heart-to-heart. It's funny because two heart-to-hearts happen very, very in a close proximity. You have Gloria Windsor, who does an amazing job at, like, knowing how to talk to Rodrigo, mm-hmm. you know, about the piece. And then at that moment, he knows what he needs to do. He goes to see Haley. And then Haley is also having another heart-to-heart with Lizzie. And Lizzie just kind of says, like, orbit or not, he's your guy. Because in this episode, we learn that Haley could no longer get the guidance through Thomas Pembridge because he's going to be on the judging panel. Mm-hmm. So, orbit or not, you know, what did you think about Lizzie giving that opinion?
Well, I think that Lizzie has given her great advice in the past. I don't know if she should necessarily have Rodrigo be the one that is her trainer in this situation because I think that she really does want to stand on her own two feet. And I'm not sure if Rodrigo is going to be able to separate his love for her and inspiring her career. Do you know what I mean? Like, can you separate the two? Like, this conductor conference or contest is a big deal to her. Would he be able to guide her without just being, oh, I just love you, I just love you? I don't know if he can. I think that he's really in that relationship mode. Like, in episode 4-3, it's funny, I wrote this down. He's like, you're my way. So not only are you my girlfriend, you're my way, which to me meant like, you're my everything.
Yeah.
And I think that her mindset is in a little bit of a different place right now.
Yeah, her mindset is in a, I'm this aged person and I need to achieve this by this age. Yeah. He's in a place where, I don't know what episode specifically you're referring to, but I loved the episode when they're at her parents' house, they're outside, and you just got a sight of Rodrigo saying, but why couldn't North Carolina work for us? Like, those are like those big moments. So mm-hmm. you're right. How do you put those bits of conversation of this new Rodrigo into, we have to win Rodrigo, you know, as somebody who is to help her? Very confusing, but that's why going to this location was amazing. So yes, we went to go see Morton Norton. Mm-hmm. So the music ephemera, like the largest location or whatnot. So fun. Mm-hmm. Fun scenes, I thought.
I thought they were fun too. I thought that the character, I don't know his name, but he played it really well. It was just so over the top, which you would expect it to be.
And I also love to watch this show and just constantly be, you know, educated by all of these different different pieces of work as well. I feel like I could just continuously want to learn more.
Yeah.
We of course mix a little bit of that with a newer emotion with Haley because Haley now has her own vision. Lo and behold.
But she's had visions in the past season. She had visions last season. Remember when she was on the pier
mm-hmm.
and this Mozart sister came to
yes,
her?
Yes, yeah. yes.
But this was more elaborate, which I thought was fun.
Well, this one, yes. The greatest thing I thought was like, we've been seeing all of Rodrigo's stuff, and then we see her, but it was like also about the women, too. Like, the dialogue, the narrative, the mm-hmm. the kind of how Lizzie suggested, hey, you should do, you know, female composers, and that's where her interest with Caroline Shaw had sort of begun. But it was so beautiful to see all of these you know, legends, you know, to talk about the pieces that they've worked on, you know, 300 years ago, or not even 300 years ago, you know, but no one's worked on them in all these times, and the limitations women had then versus now. Did I catch that the right way? I mean, I really, as a viewer, you know, I enjoyed
yeah,
it.
I thought that that was powerful to see how much women have contributed to the music community, and maybe we don't necessarily talk about it enough. And I thought it was a powerful moment for Haley, because for the past two episodes, and what I continue to say, is that she's trying to do this on her own, and these women are supporting her dream and saying that she can do it. But she's also teaching them, like, hey, you got to, like, I didn't have a conductor stick. I had to make my own. You have your own conductor stick. Like, just they learned from each other, and they were empowering for each other. So I thought that that was a beautiful scene for her.
And it was the reassurance she needed. I think that was also another decision that Haley needed to make, which was, what piece am I going to choose? And I think from the conversation with the women, it was more about, I'm going to do what speaks to me. This is a common thread we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And less about, like, arcing it to be good for the competition. And I think it was like, if they don't like it, then they don't. Then, yeah. You know, I don't need to.
She wants it to be her. And she wants to be, you know, to her authentic, true self.
Yeah.
That saying.
Before we talk about them being outside together and having their little moment, do we want to make any comments on the beautiful performance with Thomas's group there? Everyone seemed to love it. Gloria was there. Lizzie was there. Cynthia was performing. But I don't think Cynthia's supposed to perform.
No, remember she took her thing off, but she's like, to hell with it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, technically Gloria didn't like that, because could it be like some type of legal situation?
Well, yeah, because remember in previous episodes, it could permanently damage her wrist. And she was saying, Gloria was saying that the lawyers and such an insurance don't want to cover that, right?
Yeah.
So she's not supposed to be. So I think Gloria was thinking from more of like a business bottom line perspective.
Gotcha. Oh, can I flash back for 1 second? Something that I really love too. I loved how while Haley was trying to choose the piece, and she was like adamant about even earlier on saying like she wanted to do Caroline Shaw's piece, she went to go outside at the outside of her apartment.
Caroline's and played her piece.
I it just reminded me of, I think, season one when Rodrigo took them all out to, I think, the Bronx or something, and like performed in a vacant lot. And it just those aspects are the things that I fell in love with this show about initially.
I mean, go after what you want by any means, right? She was told no. She was actually just like, no, we're not. She's not interested. And she still did it anyway. She took a piece that she knew that she wrote and brought it to her. I just, you know, never take no for an answer.
Yeah, it was really cool. I was like,
chasing your dreams.
How can I? How can I miss that? Because that was exactly one of the earlier episodes when Rodrigo did that, and it just, you know, the whole community loved it, and it just speaks volumes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And We'll find out, I'm sure, later where the Caroline Shaw thing is and with Rodrigo and all that. And also very good that Haley told Rodrigo, no, I couldn't have you talk to her. Like, I needed to do this for myself. So any last thoughts? They're outside and they're just having the moment where she's basically saying, yes, I want you to assist me. Spiritual moment, nice moment. What did you think about all that?
I felt like they finally got on the same page, you know, they finally were able to be like, okay, this is what we're trying to do, or this is what she's trying to do. And he heard her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he also kind of explained why he was worried about the Requiem. I mean, that's been what I've kind of gathered the whole time, but he like was able to communicate it to her a little bit more. And Haley asked Rodrigo for the help, which was great. We discussed that. But then Rodrigo gets his next calling. So now Mozart is his calling. Take it away. What did you
gather? What do you mean by that?
Well, his next vision or his next... he goes in and he hears the music that Haley doesn't hear. He steps away and sees Mr. Smiles. Liberace? You know?
Yeah.
So...
I mean, I think that that's just him being re-inspired again.
Mm.
Right? His muse is back in a different way.
Oh, so maybe
that's how I took it.
Speaking to the different parts of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like it. I like it. Well, that, unless you have anything you want to cover further on.
No, I think
I think that's enough for the, because that's where they left us. We, I don't know about you, but we have been just watching the episodes as we go.
Yes, because we're trying not to cheat.
Yeah, so I feel like people who are viewing our show who have seen them all, they're like, but why aren't they mentioning that? You know, they probably have some Caroline Shaw payoff. I have only watched episode four, so I need to know what's going to happen next. Yeah. With that said, let's go into predictions.
Ooh, what predictions do I have?
And now, AfterBuzz TV predictions. There it is.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions are brought to you by Conversations with Maria Menounos, which you can check out on iTunes for free, gratis. Amazing. What did you predict, or what will you predict, or what do you even just want to see?
I want to see Rodrigo actually do the Requiem and make it amazing. I want to see Haley win this competition, but with like a special twist. It can't just be like, oh, you're a great conductor. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Would you be okay if she didn't win and she almost failed, but by failing she
found something else?
Yeah, that'd
in
be
her. Maybe.
I feel like, what a hater, but I also feel like the shows have been going very like up the ladder in a good way. You know, I feel like something needs to.
But she's had so much happen to her already, you know?
No, I do want her to win. Okay, let's think of some problematic things. Could somebody be feeling left out? Like, could Rodrigo feel like, you know, it's not my time? I mean, something has to happen.
Yeah, I don't know what it's going to be yet. I think maybe it's going to be with Gloria and maybe, why am I blanking, but with the lady with
Cynthia. Yeah.
Like, maybe there's going to be some animosity there or some troubles there.
Right.
Legal troubles.
Okay. I like that. What do I think is going to happen? I definitely want to know what's going to happen with Cynthia, because she, like I said, embodies that whole thing that I talk about. Like, you know, when you get older, like, what do you do? You know, and it speaks to her. She's don't know where to go. But maybe some romance for her would be fantastic. And I don't know what storyline I want for Gloria, but I'm just like, I feel like every bit that we're getting of Gloria, my eyes light up like this. Like,
well, I love the relationship she's in right now, right? I think that has softened her a little bit as well.
With Thomas? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see more of that.
Would you be okay with them not going all the way or having issues? Or do you like them together? Generally,
I like them together.
Yeah. Now, Bunny was in the episode, one of the earlier episodes. Wasn't Bunny originally with Thomas?
Thomas was married.
But I thought it was just, okay, it was someone else. Because Bunny seemed familiar, and I was like trying to go back. Because Thomas has been with Cynthia. I thought it was Bunny, so they've all dated a lot of these people. This is turning into like Melrose Place.
Well, I mean, they're together. I think that happens when you're always together with the same people. And have the same kind of journey.
Yeah, I was going to say one part of my prediction, and we'll wrap up here in a second. A distance or scheduling, that might be a problem that we're going to start to see. Because they're all doing creative projects, all doing creative endeavors. You know, whether Lizzie, where she's going to go, I know she's not a huge portion of it, but something might happen in that way that causes a little bit of a chaos.
You think so?
Yeah. Because think about it within you and your friends, too. I'm not 1,000% sure on all your creative endeavors, but I know lots of them. And, you know, what if something is going good with your personal relationships, but, you know, you got to travel or someone else comes into town? You know, stuff like that might, you know, hit in on that, you know, creativity versus passion. Yeah. That's it for me.
That's it for me, too, then.
Okay, cool. Bree, we're going to wrap up the show now, so I guess I'll just look at this camera and say I'm Ronnie Jr. My social media is going to be at RandomlyRJ, and
I am Linda Is So Girly all across social media. If you guys want to continue this conversation, please do hit me up.
Yeah, and contribute on the commentary or whatever. One of the big questions I always ask is, what is it that you love about this show, and what would you like to see next, too?
Absolutely.
All right, cool. AfterBuzz TV, that's it. Thanks.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network.
To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.